Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining me. First of all, how are these apps actually typically being used by teachers in classrooms?
Well, nearly every Australian school now will have a situation where most of the kids will have their own device. It could be a laptop, could be a tablet, could be a smartphone. And the schools will have official apps that they'll insist that the students and the parents use. But also classroom teachers are finding their own apps on the Google Play Store or the Apple iTunes Store and bringing them in the classroom to do their own thing. So it's a combination of kind of official school policy and also classroom teachers doing it for themselves.
Great. And so what sort of functions do these apps carry out? I have a hard time imagining what a classroom app does.
There's billions of apps available for education and for schools. So some of the more popular ones will be kind of like school management systems or learning management systems. So this is where the app will allow the teacher to give resources for the students. So it could be Word documents or PowerPoint slides or things they want them to do. And they can monitor the kids' work. And also there's communication between students and teacher and also between the students. So they're kind of like a platform that the learning takes place on.
Sorry, go on.
And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's probably seems to be a bit more fun. There are quiz apps. There are all sorts of apps that allow kids to learn through games and, you know, things like Minecraft. So there's a whole range of stuff out there on the market.
Yeah, right. Well, it does seem nicely interactive and nice to save on paper as well. I remember gluing in countless pages to my workbooks. It'd be nice to save a couple more trees. Now, people are talking about problems with these apps. Are there any problems, firstly, with the way that students are learning through technology and things like that, with the way that students are learning using apps and things like that?
Well, it's really interesting that lots of these apps are primarily beneficial to the school and the teacher. So they're more about the institution than they are about learning or instruction. So often people don't really think about the learning that takes place through these apps. But any piece of software or any textbook or any classroom will have certain ways of learning and what we call pedagogy built into it or designed into it. And concerns are being raised over some of the more popular apps that the built-in ways of teaching and learning are actually quite old-fashioned. They're quite regressive. So when you say interactive, depends what you mean by that. Often it's just the teacher making sure the students do the same thing.
Right. So it's just a more convenient platform for giving kids the same old information that we were giving them, you know, decades ago.
It can well be. So, I mean, teachers have always had quizzes in the class. You've always had a pop quiz. Now with an app like Kahoot, you can have an all singing or dancing quiz with music and all sorts of stuff going on. But essentially, the kids are still being asked questions and choosing A, B or C or D and getting a score at the end of it. So the pedagogy isn't much different. So it's most more convenient. Lots of teachers find it a lot more what they call engaging. So the kids seem to be more motivated. But also the big benefit for schools is it allows them to collect data on students' performance. So it's not just more convenient, it gives them an extra form of measurement and monitoring and a sense of how students are performing.
Right. Well, that's the interesting part where a lot of people are taking objection to these apps. What sort of data are the apps collecting?
Well, that's interesting. There's data that you can see and there's data that you can't see. So on the face of it, the apps are generating data on every swipe of the screen, everything that the student inputs, every time they actually switch things on, even where they are. So the great thing about these apps from the developer's point of view and from the school's point of view is that you can generate data on everything that a learner does. What's interesting is that often schools won't use very much of that data. They'll just be interested in the end result. But the data is still there and it still gets collected. And so a lot of the concerns relate to what happens to the data after it leaves the school. That's not the end of the story. So third-party use of data for commercial or non-commercial ends is a big concern.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's one of the big concerns with apps in general. So it seems like giving it to our children is something to be wary of. I mean, I know every time you download an app now, you sort of have to sign your life away in accepting all of the terms and agreements. What does it mean for developers of these apps with this data as far as transferring it to third parties?
Well, I mean, there's an adage about any software now that if you don't pay for the product, then you are the product. So at the beginning, you said these apps are free. Well, they're sort of free, but they're not free. You're paying for it in terms of the data that's produced. So as an adult, you sign the T's and C's, and you don't really read them, and you kind of know your data is getting pumped off everywhere. Often students don't get to sign up for the apps themselves. They're signed up by the school. And so the schools will often have a kind of opt-out option. So one of the big things that we're trying to push is maybe it should be opt-in, which is an interesting switch on informed consent. And then we'd also urge teachers and schools and parents and students to have much more open conversations and try and find out what the ramifications are of the data that they're producing through these platforms. Because the companies and the startups make money from the data. They don't make money from giving the apps away. And there's a huge amount of money to be made from data in education.
Mm. Yeah, well, it does seem like a big worry, and not something I get paranoid about. If you've just tuned in to 2SER, we're speaking right now with Professor Neil Selwyn from Monash University about the use of apps in classrooms and some of the concerns with that. Now, Neil, in the future, do you think we're going to see a bigger increase in apps being used in classrooms?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There's going to be a huge increase in technology over the next 10, 20 years. Apps will be at the heart of it, and other platforms as well. And in fact, this idea of the platform is really interesting. Rather than having hundreds of different apps, you're seeing a convergence of just very, very big apps that run everything. So something like Class Dojo started off as a very little thing that just allowed teachers to reward students and monitor their behavior. You can now pretty much run a whole class through Class Dojo. You can collect the data, you can communicate with students, you can give them resources. So we're going to see this increase of what we call a platform school. Just as Facebook is probably the main platform that many people experience the internet, then there are going to be these huge platforms where schools are run. And this will allow schools to both take place face-to-face, but also online. So I'd say over the next 20 years, you'll see a big increase in online learning. You'll take some classes virtually and some classes face-to-face. And at the heart of it will be these big platforms and what we're now at the moment calling apps, but are very quickly morphing into these much, much bigger things.
Mm. Do you think it might in the future create a change in the way that we teach teachers and the way that we do sort of tertiary education for teachers?
Oh, you'd hope so, but I doubt it will. I mean, it's very, very different to teach online than it is to teach face-to-face. And it's very, very different to teach using these apps than it is without using any technology. The danger is, at the moment, we're just teaching teachers in the ways that we always have done, and they're then entering classrooms and finding themselves having to do very, very different things. So one of the things, rather than just tertiary education, we're very keen to encourage teachers to continue their professional development throughout their career. So, you know, training teachers who are 30 years into the job how to use these things is probably even more important than working with the newly qualified teachers.
I was still a little bit malleable. Neil, thanks so much for joining me this morning to have a chat about this. It's very interesting, and as someone who's been out of the classroom for a little while, it's crazy to think about how much things have changed and where they're going in the future.
No worries, mate. Thanks very much.